to the Lord, isn't it? This is a day the Lord hath made. Let's go to church. Praise God. I tell you what, I appreciate the good singing. We've heard tonight testimonies of how that God's still moving, saving, delivering. And talking about too many miles we've traveled, too many miles we've gone living for God. I'd about like a lot of other folk, when I got in, great God, they said he tried everything else. I guess he'll try that. One of the members of my family spoke up and said, after 13 years, I believe Russell's going to make it.
Well,
praise God. That's a pretty good compliment, isn't it?
That's right.
But I know, the Bible said, I know my Redeemer liveth. I know my Redeemer liveth. I'll be going to the book of Amos, and while you find that, I'll make a few more comments. If you just go to Daniel and head on, and you get to Matthew, back up and go again somewhere in that area, you'll find it at Thompson Chain. If you got a Thompson Chain Bible, we'll just look on page 844. Think that'd be legal?
Yeah.
Praise God. Try to help you out a little bit. But I enjoyed the service this morning, enjoyed the preaching. I'm telling you, Brother Miller preached to us about the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
I love it. I mean, tell you, thank God. You know, I'm Trinity. I believe in all three of them, Father, Son, the Holy Ghost. One friend of mine, Brother Leon Mayfield, said, I'm glad I got to meet all three of them, praise God.
Yeah.
That's the way I feel about it. I told him I was over at the airport there in Charleston and was walked up and handed him a ticket, and I was talking to a lady. She's talking about Tri-City. She said, well, what is Tri-City? Great God, I didn't know what Tri-City was, but David told me today and some of the rest of them, I didn't know what, you know what, talking about Tri-City. And then they ran it by me again, said, what do you think Tri-City? I said, it's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. They looked at me like I fell out of a well, I'm telling you. But I believe in all three of them. Praise God. Brother Charles preached great this morning, didn't he? Always been a blessing to me. He and his precious bride is going to say amen, help Brother MacDonald, use Brother MacDonald tonight. She's not going to do it. I can tell by the way she's looking at me. We appreciate Brother Randy, don't we?
Yeah.
Let's give our pastor. Amen. Appreciate him so much, so much. The book of Amos, chapter number 3. Amos chapter number 3. I'll be taking a sip of this along. One man asked me what I had it in that bottle. I said, my own brew, pal. My own brew. Say it, man. You love the Lord? Let's stand all over the house. I noticed some standing when reading, some sitting. So, Lord will, we'll all stand. Amos chapter number 3. Begin reading verse number 9. When you have it, say amen. Published in the palaces at Ashdod and in the palaces of the land of Egypt, saying, assemble yourselves upon the mountains of Samaria. Behold the great tumults in the midst thereof, and in the midst thereof, and the oppressed in the midst thereof. For they know not to do right, saith the Lord, who store up violence and robbery in their palaces. Therefore thus saith the Lord God, an adversary there shall be even round about the land, and he shall bring down thy strength from thee, and thy palaces shall be spoiled. Thus saith the Lord, as a shepherd taketh out of the mouth of the lion two legs or a piece of an ear. And may God help me and anoint me here tonight. You may be seated. I want to ease that out. Two legs or a piece of an ear. This man of God, Amos, this prophet, you know, they talk about major and minor prophets. I don't know the difference, but the great God for man used of God to prophesy, yea and amen. I'm telling you, he got to be major, hadn't he? Yeah. So we know how, then, reading this chapter, I want to show us, the Bible talks about three different transgressions that had occurred, and yea, a fourth, that brought out the saying concerning two legs or a piece of an ear. I want to talk about those three of those transgressions. In chapter number 2 and verse number 6, thus saith the Lord, for three transgressions, O Israel, and for four, I will not turn away the punishment thereof, because they sold the righteous for silver and the poor for a pair of shoes. In other words, he talks about judgment, trouble, trial is coming because you showed injustice. You did injustice to your fellow man. You were unfair to that one that you, even your loved ones, even those of your own kindred, even those of your own tribe, you did injury unto them. He said in the word of God that even that those that were poor, the rich came and charged them money, if you will, how that they could not even pay for a pair of shoes, and therefore by not being able to do that, if you'll read it, they made slaves out of them. And they had made slaves that they were slave traders. And because of all of this, because of what they did, God said in the word of God, there's going to come a time that there'll be only two legs or a piece of an ear left of you. Because of the injustice, because of not showing love and showing compassion toward your fellow man. I want to talk to us about it tonight. If there has ever been a time, beloved, that we need to show love, ever been a time that we need to be like they were that day as they walked up to the gate, beautiful, and looked at a man that had been there lame from his mother's womb, and looked at him and said, silver and gold have I none. And great God, we've all preached about that. But he said, such as I have, give I unto thee. In the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. And the Bible said he took him by the hand and he leaped up, stood. Now, if I wrote that, I wrote a little bit different than that. But say he leaped up, stood. I just said he just stood and up. You know what I'm saying? But anyhow, that's Russell 3 and 4. Say amen. But he took him by the hand and he lifted him up. He took him by the hand and tried to encourage him. In this day when hell is raging, in this day that our brother testified about 20 some odd years ago of trying to preach messages of encouragement, 99% of what I preach and these others preach, no doubt, is not blue ribbon, pure vanilla, gun barrel holiness, in which that's legal. But I'm telling you, thank God, messages of God will help you. God will pull you through. God will bring you through that. I mean, how long has it been, beloved, when we made that phone call? I thought about this afternoon while I was contemplating on this message, laying in the middle of the floor praying, talking to God about it. I remember many times, sister, that my phone would ring and on the other end of the line I'd hear a voice all the way from Keene Mountain, and a man would say, how you'ns doing? How you'ns doing? I said, that's got to be Brother Dale Ward. That's him. How you doing, Brother MacDonald? I said, I'm in a peril, brother. I'm in a trial. He said, I called to give you a text. I called to give you a word. Thank God. We need a word, beloved. I said, we need a word. We do not need injustice. We do not need to be at a time of running our brother, our sister down. But thank God, I said, lifting them up. Come on, let's lift our hands and love God tonight. In that time, I was there at Trinity one time back in my study. That's back when the church a lot different is now. Had a little, my study wasn't much bigger than this. Didn't have but about 10 books at that time. Got about 12 or 15 now. Somewhere thereabouts. But I'm telling you, right about 6 o'clock, my phone rang. Long distance phone call from a state way beyond this one. And I had preached a message a brother had heard me preach on yet. You preached that. But I'm telling you, he said, I wanted to call and let you know, Brother MacDonald, for I shall yet praise him. Thank God. I said, son, you got me over the hump. I'm telling you, tonight we need to have what? Need to have a word of encouragement. We need to let our brother, let our sister know the same God that brought you through the last trial, the same God that brought you through the last valley, the same God that provided for you then. I want to shout it in the mouth of hell is the same God that will provide now. Isn't that right? Brother Ben Shaw, I remember Brother Ben years ago. They were going through some trials. Brother Shaw about like me, or I'm like him, I'll say that. We may face a few things at Trinity, but great God, you won't ever never know nothing about it. Say amen. And I'm telling you, you know, if a man can't brag on his church, they need to kick him O-U-T out. I'm talking about immediately, if not before. Say amen. But I mean, Brother Shaw was going through something. The church was going through something. And he said, Brother MacDonald, early one morning, a man of God called me and said, Brother Shaw, I got a message for you. He said, what is a message? He said, God is going to pull you out. God is going to bring you out. He said, listen to me tonight. I'm talking about, am I doing injustice or am I trying to help my brother and sister? And he said, I'm telling you, I went to my pulpit that morning and said, I told them exactly. I asked him, I said, who are you? Doesn't make any difference. But he said, I walked in my pulpit and told him, I got a message from a man of God. He said, God is going to pull us out. He said, I'm telling you, God begin to move. Said, Brother MacDonald, in the next month and a half, we had 50 people got saved and gave their heart to God. Come on, I'm telling you, God help us to be an encouragement and not a discouragement to people. I went there, I was preaching for him, and they were having a baptismal service of those that had got saved. Was at a pond over there. Praise God, one girl went down, and when he went to baptize her, Brother Shaw looked at me and said, her name is Delilah. Hallelujah. In other words, Delilah got saved. I believe that'd be all right, don't you? Thank God, I said, Delilah got saved. Oh, that God would help us to be an encouragement. I left here today, walked back in that motel. I was headed on back to my room. And there's a lady standing there behind the counter. And I spoke to her and started to walk off. She said, sir, could I ask you something? Could I ask a favor of you? I said, yes, ma'am, sure. And she stood there, Brother Mike, began to cry. Tears ran down her cheek. She said, I need help. I really need help. Would you pray for me? And I said, I certainly will. And that girl began to cry. And I said, I'll tell you what we're going to do, man. You're going to pray right now. Right now. Come on here. But she stood on the other side of that counter. I'm telling you, hey, we pulled down heaven, cast out hell right there. I mean, God moved. Am I and encouragement? Am I trying to lift up? Am I trying to say that God is going to bring us out? And the word of God said, because you did not encourage, because that you use your own brother, your sister, and those, your own kindred and loved ones, in order to be slaves or whatever it may be, he said, therefore nothing will be left but two legs or a piece of an ear, because of the things that we have not done. And that is to say, God is going to help. God is going to move. Say amen. Listen to it. Verse number 7, he said, that plant after the dust of the earth on the head of the poor, and turn aside the way of the meek, and a man and his father would go in into the same maid. Ungodliness, immoral, wickedness, lust, obscene. He said, because you are this away, because of the ungodliness that you have, I mean, the Bible's plain, so we'll just spit it out, the man said. He said here in the word of God, I want you to listen to this, of how that a father, the leader of the house, would lead his son not to the things of God, but the things of sin and the things of the world. In essence, he said, not in essence, but the Bible said, there's a prostitute that I know I want to introduce you to. There's a maid likewise. So we find the leader of the house, that dad is leading his son into sin. The leader. How many leaders tonight do we have throughout the years? How many have we had? That I mean, they come to the house of God, they preach, they run out, they shout, whatever it may be, and then go out and live like hell. Say amen to me. I'm telling you tonight, brother, we've got those. We've got leaders that are not where they need to be with God. I want you to know this dad, if you will, this dad led his son toward that sin. I want you to listen now. In today's language, we would say, I've got a certain cigarette I want you to smoke. I mean, you've been smoking a different kind. I've got a beer that I want you to drink. I've got a drug that I want you to take. I've got words that I want you to start saying. I've got places of sin that I want you to go. Hey, am I leading them? How am I leading them? How am I living? Listen to me tonight. How am I living at home? I mean, I live one way at church. I get up and say, glory to God, hallelujah, praise the Lord, thank you, Jesus. And then go home and live another way and say words that I would to God nobody could hear and nobody else knows. But tonight, what kind of life am I living? I'm going to tell you about me. God knows my heart. I never one time in my house, never had prayer in my home, not one time. I don't remember my dad ever praying, never. I remember going to bar rooms and staying all night long, leaving the next morning. I knew all about sin, but I didn't know nothing about God. What kind of example am I being in my home? I said, what kind of example? Hey, you're going to have to settle down. I'm going to tell you just like it is. All this bunch of running these aisles and shouting when I'm preaching, I want people to listen to what I'm saying. Come on, you smile a while. Come on here. Come on now. How am I living? How am I living when I go home? Amen. My bride knows how I live, beloved. There ain't all that story. I know how she lives. She lives good. Praise God. Oh, but if there's ever been a time, he said here, judgment is coming. Judgment is coming because the leader, the leaders of the house, the leaders of the church are not living like we used to. God, get us back, thank God, to a way of holiness. God, get us back to a way of living right. I'm going to tell you, when I first got in, I didn't know nothing about nothing. I know nothing. My Lord, my wife, she called a Baptist preacher, brother. Amen. I was on duty. Called a Baptist preacher. And then they called me from the station, said, your wife wants you to come by the house. I went over to my house, pulled up there in my patrol car. I got out and walked in. She said, Russell, I got saved. I said, you got what? What now? You got saved. She said, I called Brother Brown, got saved, and gave my heart to God. She said, I said, listen, I don't want no part of that. I don't want nothing to do with it. I mean, you talking about exit, son. I mean, it's out there. I left. I said, I don't want nothing to do with it. Great God, we did go to a baptism service. Amen. One officer went with me. He was in uniform. I was out of uniform. And I'm telling you, brother, old Shad and Shannon were sitting between us. I don't remember which one it was. But they's in the process of baptizing my wife and some others. And one of them boys reached up there and grabbed a whistle on that uniform. I mean, come in the ace of blowing it, brother. Praise God. That's right. Listen to me. But there came a time that Baptist preacher pulled up in my house. I didn't care. Pulled up and followed me in my patrol car, brother. Got out and started talking to me about church. And God knows I had later on. I told him, I said, man, you get off my property. Don't you ever bother me no more. Don't you never say nothing to me about God no more. But I'm talking about there came a time when God got hold of me. There came a time. Why? Because somebody lived a life. Oh, that God would help us. I said that God would help us to make up our mind. But we need men and women that are living right. Isn't that right? I'm going to hurry here. I got some more I'm going to get into. Listen to it now. The Bible said in the Word of God, number 3, and they laid themselves down upon clothes laid to pledge by the altar, and they drank wine of the condemned in the house of God. And that's a hard scripture to get hold of. But what he's talking about is the idolatry that was committed. They laid themselves down by every pagan altar, in the clothes that they had taken from those that were indebtedness to them because of the poor. And God looked at them at that sin. It was an atrocious sin that they had committed. And God spoke to them about the idolatry. And could I tell us, beloved, amen, one man said, anything we do in excess or anyone we look at in excess to worship or to reverence them is idolatry. And we're living in a time today, idolatry is coming in the house of God. I said, idolatry is coming in the house of God. But all these sins and all the things that were committed, God said, and I love it, God said these words, you have sinned, but I love this. The Word of God tells us of how thus saith the Lord the shepherd, taketh thou the mouth of the lion, 2 legs or a piece of an ear. I'm not going to leave you hanging with concerning about the injustice and the moral and the idolatry. But God said, I'm going to pull you out of that. God said, I'm going to bring you out of that. In other words, God is saying, I'm going to show you forgiveness. I'm going to show you mercy. I'm going to show you love. I'm going to show you the grace of God. Yeah, amen. The grace of God, of how that God comes with grace. When nothing else is left, when all of the sin, when all of the wickedness, when all of the ungodliness had been done, the Word of God tells us, I'm going to send a shepherd. I love that. In other words, he said nothing but 2 legs or a piece of an ear. He tells us tonight there is something to salvage. I love that. Thank God there's something to salvage, beloved. When you have passed judgment, when I have passed judgment, I've seen a time if I look at someone through the eyes of Russell McDonald, I may say they'll never be saved. But I want to shout it tonight. If I look at them through the eyes of Jesus Christ, say amen to me. If I look at them through the eyes of Jesus Christ, thank God there's hope. I mean, that man that has done an atrocious sin, that when it's lived like hell, that when it cared about nobody but himself, thank God didn't have nothing left. But God said, that's the kind I'm coming for. That's the kind I'm coming for. Listen to me. I walked in my church here a while back in our church. A man called me. There'd been a time that he was in church. It'd been a time the girl he was dating was in church. I performed a wedding for them, dedicated their baby. They got in church living for God. But there came a time they both went back out in the world. Sin. There came a time there was separation, divorce. He called me more than one time this time, and I'm sharing with you tonight. He called me, said, would you meet me at the church? And I remember how that I walked in, his hair long, hanging down on his shoulders, dressed in fatigues. I looked at him. I'm sitting across from him. He looked at me and said these words. He said, I have lost my wife. I have lost my son. I have lost my soul. I'm headed to hell. The devil don't leave much. I said, hell don't leave much. Just two legs and a piece of an ear. How is he tonight? He's a druggie. How is he tonight? He's an alcoholic. Still away from God. But thank God, you know what the Bible said? He said, I will do what? The shepherd. Thank God, the shepherd, the man of God will come. I love it. I said, I love it. When all others have given up hope, when all others are saying they'll never be saved, thank God for a man of God that will pray. I said, a man of God that will pray, make one more visit, make one more phone call. Come on, lift your hands and love God. You never know. You never know. I mean, you say they've done too much. They've lived like hell. I don't care what they've done. I don't care if it's a woman at the well. I don't care who they are, beloved. I do not care if they've a man. I know one man sitting in a meeting, and another man, he was sitting in a meeting, and I was preaching. Some of them asked him, said, you ever killed a man knowing the life that he lived? You ever killed a man? And I watched him. He almost shot blood red. And he said these words. He said, I never killed a black man. That's what he said. I never killed a black man. But no, I mean, he's a man that's on fire for God today. You listen to me. He's a man that said, blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. No matter how we have lived, no matter what we have done, no matter the sins that we have committed. And he said, nothing but two legs and a piece of an ear, that's all is left. But God told the man of God, go, shepherd, go, preacher. And reach in the mouth of that lion, thank God of heaven. Woo! Reach in the mouth of that lion and pull out that two legs and a piece of an ear. Our brother made mention about David this morning. Let's look at him. His sin of adultery, the dying of a baby, the killing of some David's servants. the death of Uriah, the husband of Bathsheba. But God sent a servant. God sent a shepherd. God sent Nathan. You know what Nathan's name means? The giver. I love that. It means the giver. I want to tell you, preacher man, I love preachers. But thank God for a preacher that will give that God has given him to his people. Say amen. Don't you know he had a struggle? I mean, David thought he had his sin hid. Thought all was covered. God told him, said, you go to David. You go to him. And you're going to put your finger on him. You ever had the man of God put his finger on you? I have.
I mean, I'm sitting there hollering time. Give me a break.
Come on now. But he looked at him and said, thou aren't the man. You're the man, David. Don't you listen to this? Don't you listen? You're the man. The man that sin had eaten away at his life. Nothing but a torn down life, a reputation that was black and darkened, and a kingdom that was shook. David, there's nothing left of you but two legs and a piece of an ear. There's nothing there, David. Thank God I heard him say these words. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit. Yeah. Amen. Out of the miry clay and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. I wasn't nothing, but two legs and a piece of an ear. David is saying, if you will, but God loved me enough. But God loved me enough. And thank God he sent a man of God my way and said, David, you're the man. You're the man, David. You confess your sin and God will forgive you of your sin. I want to shout it tonight, beloved. Every one of us, amen. You may not have been in far as the world that I was or someone else, but thank God I'm telling you, we're lost. Lost and headed to hell like a bullet, the man said. But thank God he said, I'm going to save them. I'm going to save that man. I'm going to save that woman. Yeah. That prodigal son reached a time, I'm telling you, there came a place that he went from riches to rags, beloved. Yeah. But the word of God said, he got in that hog pen. When he got in the hog pen, yeah. Then he came to himself. Somebody said, why is my son doing like he's doing? Why is my husband, my daughter, whoever it may be, why are they doing? They are not themselves. They're not themselves. You know what he said? When he came to himself, he said, I don't have but two legs and a piece of an ear. But I'm telling you, that daddy looked and said, the devil didn't leave much. But I'm going to welcome him home. Say amen to me. Oh, thank God. Thank God when lives are torn up, lives are ruined, if you will. He said, I'll take you. Nobody else may not want you. I was preaching in a distant state. The house is full. I give God the glory. I preach and pull for the lost that Sunday morning. And they had a young lady had come in. Some ladies had brought this girl in. She sat right up front. I'm telling you, every word was like a sponge, son. I mean, that girl was just reaching out for it. When I gave her all the call, some began to pray. Conviction on her, I looked at her. But Lord, ask her, will you come? Jesus loves you. Jesus will forgive you. No matter what you've done, he'll forgive you. She sat there, tears running down her cheek. Once again, I asked her, I said, would you please come? She stood up and those ladies came. She knelt down. The pastor's wife came. The pastor and I went over. I never will forget. I knelt down on the other side over here. Here's what she said. She said, I've done everything you've said and more. She said, I've lived in, this girl wasn't about 20 years old. She said, I've lived in a red light district since I was 17 years old. I've gone with it, and it made no difference what race they was, how old they was, what sex they were. You name it, I've done it. She said, I'm going to ask you one more time. But Mike Roberts, she looked at me, she said, will he forgive me? Thank God. I mean, it wasn't nothing but two legs and a piece of an ear, son. But thank God, he said, I will forgive whosoever will let him come. Buy it without money, buy it without price. He is in the forgiving business. Glory to God of heaven. What part of hell would you be in tonight had not it been the mercies of God? How would your family be tonight had not it been for the mercies of God? Where would Carolyn MacDonald be tonight? Where would Chad, Shannon, Todd, Timmy, and Monica be had not it been for the mercies of God? If you'll get me a song ready tonight, brethren, hear me. No matter. Hell will push you to the hilt. Hell will tell you God will not say. Get me a song ready, please. Hell will tell you God does not love you. I come tell you tonight he loves you. He loves your soul. You say, Brother MacDonald, there's things in my life that nobody knows anything about. There's things that I've talked to God about that I've struggled with. Will God forgive me? Yes, he will. Will God have mercy on me? You in this house tonight. Hear me. I laid in the middle of that floor today talking to God and asking God, move right here. Move in this altar service. Whatever it is tonight that I need to come clean with God, whatever it is that I need to lay before God, I can do it if I'll just make up my mind. You're going through that spiritual valley and the devil tells you that you're not going to pull out of this trouble. You're not going to make it out of this one. Hey, I'm here tonight to tell you, you're going to make it out. I walked out to the church. I'd looked at my wife, and it was several years ago. I told her, I was under the gun. I'm talking under the gun. I know some of you preachers never been there, but hang in there, pal. You headed that way. Yeah. Say amen. I was under the gun. I was under pressure. And I never will forget, sister. I walked out that side door and went in an altar, fell on my face, knelt in that altar, rather leaning over that altar, crying, begging God to help me. I needed help. I was at a place spiritually where there wasn't nothing left much. And Brother Randy, while I was in that altar, son, I heard the side door open. My precious wife walked in and put her arms around me. She said, God help Russell. Amen. Whew. You're up against it. Hell has worked on you. And there's not much left. But God said, there's enough and I'll take it. there's enough, and I'll take what's left. Won't you stand with me? I don't ask nobody to leave, nobody walk out. You hear and you're lost, he'll save you. If I repent of my sins, he's faithful and just to forgive me of my sin and cleanse me from all unrighteousness, every bit of it. But I want to look, I want to, you're in that place that I was. I'm just down, preacher. I'm just down. I need God to pull me out of this. I had a man ask me one time, I've shared it. He asked me, he said, what's the greatest peril? What's the greatest peril? What's the greatest trouble, Brother Charles, of our churches? I know where he's headed. I know what he wanted me to say, you know. Outward appearance and etc. He said, what's our greatest problem? I said, I'm going to tell you what our greatest problem is, pal. We will not admit we need help. We will not admit we need help. I made up my mind years ago, if I got to be at the first one, go to that altar and bawl and squall, that's exactly what I'm going to do. I'm going to make it to heaven. But we got people tonight, I love you as much as I love my own soul, but you're at that place. You're at that place. That spiritually there's not much left. But God said, if you'll come tonight, I'm going to take you. I'm going to take you in my arms. I'm going to help you. How many of you are going to help me? How many of you are going to obey God? How many of you are going to forget about who you are, what your name is, how long you've been preaching, what church you go to? Say amen. I'm going to come and I'm going to get help. And I'm not talking about kneel down here on one knee and get up on the other. I'm talking about getting down to business with God and saying, I have got to have help. While they're singing, don't you step out right now without a moment's hesitation. Don't worry about what your neighbor thinks, beloved. It's you and God right now.